Hello, and welcome to Onk Live On Air. I'm your host today, Jason Harris. Onk Live On Air is a podcast from Onk Live, which provides oncology professionals with the resources and information they need to provide the best patient care. In both digital and print formats, Onk Live covers every angle of oncology practice, from new technology to treatment advances to important regulatory decisions. In today's episode, we had the pleasure of speaking with Nicholas Acuna, MPH, a PhD candidate in the Department of Population and Public Health Sciences at the Keck School of Medicine of the University of Southern California. Acuna led research showing that incidence of liver cancer increases over time in people of Mexican descent living in Los Angeles. He and his colleagues determined that those born in the U.S. who have at least one parent born in the U.S. are more likely to develop hepatocellular carcinoma compared with first-generation immigrants from Mexico. The causes for this increased risk are unclear, but investigators suspect acculturation plays a role. Data show that with each successive generation, individuals of Mexican descent in the U.S. were more likely to smoke, consume more coffee and alcohol, and have a higher body mass index. Acuna, the son of Peruvian immigrants, discussed his research findings, the so-called Latino paradox in health outcomes, and the next steps for this research. Nicholas Acuna, thank you for taking the time out to talk to us today about your research into liver cancer, specifically in people of Mexican descent living in the U.S. I appreciate you taking the time this afternoon.
Awesome. Thank you so much for having me.
So something we got into a little bit before we started is your last name is Acuna, and it used to be Acuna. But when your parents immigrated from Mexico, that got lost, as you said. So this research is sort of personal for you. This is tracing your own family's history.
Yeah, kind of in a way. So both my parents emigrated to the United States just about a year. I was born in from Peru. And when they came to the United States, you know, very limited English proficiency and trying to navigate a whole new system that they just weren't familiar with for, you know, a better life is what they say when I was growing up. And so when they came here and doing through the whole documentation and legal process, it wasn't clear to them that they were able to actually translate over the tilde from my last name into now the documentation that we have here in the United States. So now my last name is Acuna, but when anybody from my family talks to me, it's referred to as Acuña. And so, yes, it is in a way personal because there are so many health disparities and health inequities that we are experiencing within our communities and many other communities that have been underrepresented. So it is very personal, and it's, you know, something that I'm very passionate about pursuing when it comes to research.
Can you summarize your study methods and what you found in the research?
So we used the multi-ethnic cohort, which is a large prospective cohort of roughly about 215,000 people that were recruited in the early 90s from both Los Angeles and Hawaii. For this specific study, we looked at individuals of Mexican descent because they constituted the largest ethnic subgroup of Latinos in the multi-ethnic cohort that were based here in Los Angeles. We had to have information on both where that participant was born and where both parents were born. So we looked at whether either their mom or their father was born here in the United States or in Mexico. And what we did is we categorized participants based on if they were first generation, meaning they were born in Mexico and both parents were also born in Mexico. Second generation, born in the United States and either parent born in Mexico. And third generation, born in the United States and both parents were born in the United States. From there, we wanted to look at comparison between each of the generations and seeing who developed liver cancer. So we looked at about a follow-up time about of 20 years to see who would develop liver cancer. And we had about 220 cases of liver cancer.
Why Mexicans specifically? There's lots of Central and South Americans in LA. Why did you stick with that population?
When recruitment happened in the multi-ethnic cohort around the 90s, Mexicans constituted the largest percentage of participants that were in the cohort. So because we know that there are so many differences and the heterogeneity between Latinos, like within our communities, we wanted to specifically just focus on Mexicans and not lump everyone together, which is what we see typically in a lot of other studies, is that Latinos, whether people are coming from Mexico, from Panama, Guatemala, Ecuador, Colombia, are all just lumped into one category. So for this specific study, we wanted to keep it as homogeneous as possible. And because we had the large sample size to do so, we kept it to just Mexicans.
And it seemed that over time, people of Mexican descent were more likely to develop liver cancer the longer they lived in the U.S. Is that accurate?
I would reframe it and say more so that third generation individuals of Mexican descent were more likely to develop liver cancer than those that were considered first generation. When we looked at how long people actually lived in the United States, because at baseline, remember, all these people were living in Los Angeles already. So we looked at to see how long were people also living in the United States. For the majority of our participants, they were living in the United States for 15 plus years.
You attributed the growth in liver cancer to acculturation. What does that mean exactly?
Acculturation is essentially the adoption of certain lifestyle and behavioral upticks that don't have necessarily beneficial or favorable health outcomes. So this can include having more diets that had more fat, salt, consuming more alcohol, smoking. So all these different lifestyle behaviors that are mostly attributed to a Western lifestyle have been seen to increase risk for many health outcomes. So when we think about, you know, looking at Latinos, there's something that we look at called the Latino paradox or the Hispanic paradox, which is essentially maybe describing why we are seeing non-Hispanic white people having more unfavorable health outcomes than Latinos, because in our view, these lifestyle behaviors differ between these populations because of acculturation.
So people immigrate to the U.S., they're more likely to smoke, they're more likely to drink, they consume more coffee, they're heavier than their Mexican counterparts. Is that simply a matter of that's the U.S. lifestyle? Or some of this seems like it could be related to stress, you know, more smoking, more alcohol intake. And I assume, immigrating from a foreign country is a stressful process. So did you look into it all, kind of where these acculturations come from?
We did not. So we do not have information on necessarily the psychosocial aspects, which is a very key, like what you brought up, very important factor about regarding stress. There has been a lot of literature that talks about, you know, mental health outcomes and consumption of alcohol and cigarette that could be attributed to stress, even discrimination that these communities face and how they live their day-to-day life. So that has been well documented in the literature as well. But to say that within our study population that they're smoking because of stress, we did not specifically look into that.
Did you look into barriers to access to care? I mean, you were just talking about, you know, your parents had a language barrier when they came here. So if someone got sick, it's much more difficult to navigate this U.S. healthcare system. Is that something that came up in your research?
Not particularly the barrier to care. We're looking at now more of like these macro environments. So how do people live in their neighborhoods and how does that actually impact their health? One of our next steps is actually to look at and merge information from these people to their neighborhoods. So that to say like ethnic enclave and to look at neighborhood socioeconomic status and seeing if these may also be attributing to why we are seeing such a great increased risk in liver cancer incidence.
Yeah, I'd be curious to know if it is, you know, socioeconomic or education based or kind of where those differences lie.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. We are going to be investigating that moving forward.
Can you tell me a little bit about, because it seemed like as the generations went on, there was an increase per generation. So not only, you know, did you see an increase in the first generation, but by the third generation, it was even greater than what we had seen previously. And that's all due, I'm assuming, to the acculturation. As Mexicans move here and become more Americanized, the risk factors grow.
Yeah, so that's what we were hypothesizing. And so when we look at the distribution of when we looked at, you know, alcohol intake, BMI status, when we looked at their diet as well, as we go across the generations, you saw that a lot more unfavorable behaviors that we've seen across generations. So we hypothesize it is, but when we look in our models and we put these things that are very well-established risk factors for liver cancer, we still see this really increased risk as the generations go on. So even after we account for all these, you know, acculturation risk factors that we think about, we're still seeing this. So that's why we're now going to be taking this to the next step and looking at these neighborhood stuff and seeing maybe this is what's partially explaining why we're seeing such an increased risk as we increase generations.
incoming physicians? What can they do to address these cultural biases and these disparities in incidence and care?
Absolutely. So I think it's very important just to understand, you know, also the context of like just their behaviors, but also like understand the culture that comes with it and understanding their built and social environments. Those play a huge role that we're understanding now, how your neighborhood plays an important role in cancer risk and development of diseases. So understanding, you know, where they live in a certain neighborhood, do they have that transportation? Are they able to get to, you know, say a National Comprehensive Cancer Center? I think all of these things in conjunction with what we're thinking about lifestyle behaviors, I think those are very important to understand how this may be impacting their patients.
Temple and the University of Pennsylvania have taken similar research and used it to kind of create neighborhood and community level interventions for health issues, not just cancer, but other concerns. Is there anything like that in LA, and can this research be used to address those kinds of issues?
My understanding is that the Keck School of Medicine, and specifically there's a huge branch within it that does the community outreach and engagement. They do a lot of work in terms of like cancer screening. They have prometoras that go out to the community and do health education for the people of Los Angeles.
Thank you so much for taking the time out to talk to me today. I appreciate it. Before I let you go, is there anything else though that you'd like to add?
Yeah, so I kind of also want to describe just some of the limitations. That's super important just because a lot of the research, you know, tells you something. I think you need to understand what are the assumptions that people brought in and where that they shouldn't maybe not extrapolate too far. So within our research, we looked at liver cancer. Now that covers all the etiologies of liver cancer that we combined. That includes alcohol-related disease, that includes non-alcoholic fatty liver disease, you know, hepatitis C, hepatitis B. So there's a lot of etiologies that go into the development of liver cancer. We did not specifically look at all these etiologies simply because many of our participants that developed liver cancer, we just didn't have that information. And among the people that we didn't feel it was appropriate to take those findings and assume that everyone followed the similar distribution. So we did not specifically look at the different etiologies, which each etiology has its own risk factors and the way that it develops liver cancer. So I think that's one of the first limitations. And I think this is what we prefaced, you know, right from the beginning of the talk, was that we only specifically looked at individuals of Mexican descent. We didn't look at any other Latin American subgroup. So to generalize these findings across all of Latin American subgroups, we don't feel like that would be the best way to approach it. I think there's a lot more work and further studies that are needed and to have more representation of different populations in their research studies.
Why liver cancer specifically?
We've been seeing a lot of epidemiologic trends where many cancer sites were seeing the rates actually decreasing. But for some reason, liver cancer is one of the few ones that we're seeing an increase, and specifically for Latinos. So we're not sure why we're seeing that. So that was one of the big questions that we wanted to address, is understanding a little bit more as to why we're seeing this increase in liver cancer among Latinos when for many other cancer sites, they're going down.
Acculturation, is it that people of Mexican descent who've moved to the U.S., are they adopting less healthy lifestyles compared to Mexicans in Mexico or compared to native-born Americans?
So we would compare that to individuals who are living in Mexico, because previous research has also suggested that from using the same data source, the multi-ethnic cohort, they saw that when they looked at where people were born, whether they were born here in the United States or they were born elsewhere, there was a huge difference in liver cancer incidence. So that also kind of like hints to potentially that birthplace matters.
Thank you so much for taking the time to talk about your research today.
Awesome. Thank you so much for having me.
That's all we have time for today. Thanks again to my guest, Nicholas Acuna. And thank you for listening to this episode of Onc Live On Air. Check back on Mondays and Thursdays for exclusive interviews with leading experts in the oncology field. For more updates in oncology, be sure to visit www.onclive.com and sign up for our e-newsletters. OncLive is also on social media. On Twitter, follow us at OncLive and at OncLiveSOSS. On Facebook, like us at OncLive and OncLive State of the Science Summit, and follow our OncLive page on LinkedIn. If you like today's episode of Onk Live On Air, please consider subscribing to our podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Amazon Music, and many of your other favorite podcast platforms so you get a notification every time a new episode is posted. While you're there, please take a moment to rate us. Thanks again for listening to Onk Live On Air.